Welcome to Now Trending, the latest in lifestyle with Andrea Elias and Orla Johannes on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. I'm Orla alongside Andrea. So the most common type of accidental injuries are actually slip or fall accidents, and they are also the leading cause of accidental death injuries. Now, amongst the top causes of accidental related deaths in young adults and middle-aged people is unintentional poisoning. I mean, this is just such an interesting topic because for many of us, we think accidental injuries at home just involve a Band-Aid and a little bit of cream and you're all good. But no, they're very serious. So how can all these accidents be prevented? Joining us now is Dr. DiLiello from Cardiogenics. Welcome back, Dr. DiLiello.
Thank you for having me.
So how can we prevent accidental falls and slips in and around the home, which seems to be the leader when it comes to accidental injuries?
Oh, yeah. So falls is huge. We see it all across the board, young children, young adults, and the elderly. So a lot of it, there's a lot of different things that we could do to prevent falls. So just in terms of environment, so you want to make sure that, you know, the house is well lit, especially around staircases. In fact, you want to make sure that, you know, you've removed any carpets or that they're kind of properly fixated to the ground. We see a lot of trips over carpets. The other thing that you could do is adequate, like, footwear. So inside the house, you know, those kind of flimsy sandals or flip-flops are not helpful. So having a proper shoe on is important. And then as the, you know, individuals get older, so just preventing falls in general, you know, doing regular exercise, resistance training, strengthening, you know, the muscles around the joints, doing yoga, tai chi, trying to prevent falls altogether in the first place. And of course, medications as well is a huge cause of unintended falls. And so you always want to go over all of your medications with your doctor to see that you're not on something that could possibly lead to falls.
Can we also talk for a second about people climbing up ladders that maybe shouldn't be up ladders? Like, I don't know if I'm the only person who drives around the neighborhood on the weekend and sees like some guy up a ladder tinkering around on his roof and like my heart stops. Is this also an issue?
This is a huge issue, and people are very creative with their ladder use, and putting one ladder on the side of another ladder.
Yep.
It's really terrifying when you see, and we often see that, you know, even just falling from, you know, 4 feet or even from your own height could lead to broken bones. And so obviously falls from ladders higher than 6 feet could really lead to serious injury. We see that all the time. You should never go on a ladder unaccompanied. You should always have, you know, a buddy watching you, and always have one point of contact on the ladder at all times. Like one, you know, on aside from your legs, you have one other point, like your arm.
Yeah.
But really we see it quite often.
I mean, you know, even when if you're using a ladder, you need to check that the thing can actually stand up by itself too. Because a couple of years ago, my brother-in-law, and he works in construction, he got on a ladder and he ended up, the ladder just gave way and he broke his arm above and below the elbow.
Oh,
it
boy.
Was not a, yes, it was incredibly serious. He's lucky to even be alive today.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it doesn't even matter whether you're experienced or not. You've really got to be careful when it comes
exactly.
to using a ladder.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you, another hot topic right now, unintentional poisoning. When I was reading up about this, I was blown away that this is another common accidental injury that can even lead to death. Tell us exactly what unintentional poisoning is and how it can be prevented, Dr. DiLiello.
So unintentional poisoning, it can mean a lot of things depending on, again, the age that we're talking about. So for, you know, for example, young children, it's often medication that's left unattended, including certain vitamins that are left unattended. What's more common in adults is we see, so they'll often when you're cleaning, so they're combined two separate cleaners, then that could create like a type of gas that could be very, very dangerous, sometimes even lead to death. In fact, even with our own medications, So sometimes you always want to make sure that the medication that you're prescribed is the one that you're actually receiving. It's not often that it happens, but there are mistakes that are made by the pharmacy. So you always want to make sure that it's the right medication and the right dose.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of the over-the-counter drugs as well. Like, we see it often, you know, people will say, well, I've taken this 100 times. I know what the dose is. Like, even doctors forget doses sometimes. So you always want to make sure that you're reading the label, that you're taking the right dose, even if it's something that you've taken, you know, a million times. And in the house as well, the other type of poisoning that we often kind of forget about is carbon monoxide poisoning, which could really happen anywhere. It's odorless. There's, you know, you don't really have any major warning signs of it. The symptoms could mimic that of a cold, where you just kind of feel nausea and confused. And so it's important to have, you know, an approved carbon monoxide detector in the house as well.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Andrea Elias alongside Orla Johannes, and we're chatting with Dr. Diliello from Cardiogenics Medical Center about some of the more common household accidents and how to prevent them. So, Dr. Diliello, what else is on the list? What do you see a lot of that we should maybe be a little bit more wary of?
It's a good point. So we see a lot of burns. Burns are something like, to different degrees, we're seeing a lot of burns in the house. And so we know, obviously, so fire safety, you want to make sure that you have smoke detectors, you know, fire extinguishers in the house so that all the adults know how to use them. That's the main thing. But especially in kids, we see like scald. So like, usually it's a tap water even. So, I mean, I've been a victim of this many times when my wife's finished washing the dishes and then I go to wash my hands afterwards, you know, the hot water could be very, very, painful. And in fact, in children, their skin tends to burn 4 times faster. And so with most water heaters, they're set at 60 degrees Celsius. You could burn their hands in under 1 second with hot water. It could be a third degree burn even. So normally we say, you know, try to lower the setting on the hot water. You could lower it down to, you know, 49 degrees and always check the temperature before, you know, putting a child in the bath water, for example. But even just with the faucets, that's one of the things that we see pretty often here in clinic.
Now, you weren't just throwing your wife under the bus there, right, Dr. Diliello?
The proper reaction would be like, well, Dr. Diliello, just do the dishes yourself, which is, you know, it's valid.
Dr. Diliello,
oh my goodness.
Just quickly going back to what we were just saying about burns, if in the event that you do, you know, get like a hot water burn or something like that, is the best thing to immediately run it under water to ice it? Like, because I know it does make a difference in the healing process in the long run, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so as a general rule, yes, to put it under cool running water or room temperature water. You don't want to put direct ice on it or ice water because that could actually deepen the burn and cause more pain. And when you're cooling a burn, you want to cool it, you know, keep it under the running water for a very long time. You know, we're talking 15, 20 minutes here. That being said, you know, we're kind of generalizing. Burns could be quite complicated to treat depending on how much surface area of the skin they take, how deep they are, you know, if they're in these dangerous areas like the hands, the face, over a joint. So if there's any question, it's always better, you know, no one's going to fault you for calling your doctor or going to the emerge for a burn because, you know, even what looks like a simple burn, but on one of those important areas like your hands could be quite disabling if it isn't treated properly.
Dr. Diliello, just before we let you go, talk to us about what we should do if we see somebody choking.
Oh, this is a good question. So choking, so there's a number of things. So it depends on what the person looks like. If the person's able to talk, then generally you don't have to go to any invasive measures. If you see that they're, you know, there's high-pitched wheezing, they're not really saying much, they're becoming white or blue in the face. So if you're around other people, always advise someone to call 911. And, you know, I don't often tell my patients to go and look online or watch videos online, but searching the Heimlich maneuver on YouTube and looking at how to do it for different age groups could be life-saving. Now, it doesn't replace, you know, proper education and training. And so, you know, I do encourage my patients to go and do first aid courses. But at least knowing what it looks like and how to do it could be really life-saving.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. DiLiello. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
That's Dr. DiLiello from Cardiogenics Medical Center.